Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a couple of people who are very prominent in our community, John and Ruth Nickel. He worked at the stockyards, was a magistrate here in our county. Ruth from a well-known family. Great people in our community. We're going to be talking to their daughter, Donna, about their life and what it meant to our county right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn about people, places, and things of our county. Today we're going to be talking about a couple who are both well known in our community. They came from the southeastern part of Jessamine County, got married, went on to do a lot of things in the county, especially him in the political realm, if you will. But anyway, today we're going to be talking to one of the daughters. Donna is with us, and we'll talk about John and Ruth Nickel. Good morning, Donna. Glad
Hello.
You came.
Hi, Doug.
We are going to reminisce a little bit about Mom and Dad. And a lot of people in our county knew both of them. And really, there's probably a lot of people in our county who maybe doesn't even remember when they weren't together because they knew each other for so long. Let's start with your dad, John.
Uh-huh.
Now, tell us when John was born and who his parents were and siblings and all that kind of thing.
Well, he was born in 1937 in Montgomery County.
Mm-hmm.
That's where his parents lived at the time, and came to Jessamine County when he was around 8 years old, I think. But his parents were Reed and Hazel Nickel.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an older brother, Carl. And then he had a younger sister. A lot of people probably don't know that. That died when she was a year old.
That would have been up there in Montgomery
yes,
County?
Yes, it would have been. That was way before they moved here to Jessamine County. Yeah.
Do you know why Reed came here to start with? Is there any particular reason? Or are they just like, well, it's time to go?
I would imagine probably bought the farm down off John, what later become John Watts Road. I'm not really sure, but that's the only place they ever lived in Jessamine County. So I imagine it was buying the farm and to farm, which is what he did.
The availability of the farm was there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was reading and I was telling you that I had this little thing that came out of the, it was a 1998 edition of the Jessamine County. It had a lot of family history. And Alexander Cox actually wrote this, I guess, for your mom and dad. But it talks in here about the ancestors coming from Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and then
on the Nickel side of the family.
On the Nickel. And then I guess the Canner side, or maybe the Sharp side,
that was,
they came from England. Is that right?
Maybe
somewhere
so.
In
you
there.
Know, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
One of Daddy's cousins did a lot of genealogy on the Nickel part.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little bit more familiar with that than I am mom's side. So,
well, she wrote in here just kind of what you had said. The family with those sons, Carl and John, moved to that farm they bought in 1946 from George Walker. So your dad moves to Jessamine County. He is here then. And I guess probably had the typical farm boy life. First off, where did he go to school? Do you know when he was little?
When he was young and first came to Jessamine County, he went to Chrisman Mill.
One room school.
Uh-huh.
Chrisman Mill.
And then I guess when they moved to high school, went to the Nicholasville High. Yes.
Yeah. Now, at what point in time, because it had to be somewhere in there that he met your mother.
I would imagine it was high school.
Okay. Because they lived, I guess both of them lived in that part of the county, but they were still kind of far away.
Right, because mother was down at the Little Hickman area.
Yeah. And he was over on the you said it before, now it's called John.
Right, in Chrisman Mill area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So they were in that same section of the county, but pretty good distance.
Right.
Especially back then when you couldn't just jump in the car and drive a couple of miles. What after that? Let's just talk a little about his life prior, I guess, to marriage. Did he go to school? Did he farm?
No. He quit school.
Oh, yeah?
And didn't graduate because his parents wouldn't let him play football.
Really?
Yes.
He wanted to play football.
He wanted to play football, and they wouldn't let him. And he said, then I'll just quit school. And he did.
And he did.
And he did. And I guess probably farming. And then, I'm not sure, probably after they married, that he worked as a meat cutter at Kroger.
Didn't know that. Here?
Yes.
So he would have probably worked, let me get my mind rolling here, probably for Ned Leach.
Now, I don't know all those kinds of
I would
specifics.
Say, because I know the Kroger store back in the 30s used to be across the street where the circuit clerk's office is. And then they moved over here to Farmer's Square, what's Farmer's Square now. Ned Leach was the manager that came across, and that's Dub Hunter and all that bunch worked
there.
So,
like I said, I'm not really sure the time, but then from mostly what I remember is him working at R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company.
Now, he did work. I guess he retired from there, didn't
he? No.
Or did he?
No, because when
He left because they wouldn't play football.
No. When they moved to North Carolina, he had 5 years until full retirement.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not moving. And
didn't want to leave home.
He didn't want to leave home. And all of us were married at the time. And he said, you know, if you all were still home and I had you as responsible of us, be a different story. But, you know, I never heard him say he regretted not doing it.
Well,
never
this is heard home.
Him say, yeah.
And he probably having his roots here so deep.
And not long.
He would have been miserable.
Well, and his brother.
Especially with you here.
His brother became ill not long during that time and died.
Yeah.
And then not too long after that, his mother. So he never was sorry he didn't go.
Yeah, I understand that.
But he always had something to do. He always worked at something.
Right. All right, let's switch gears just for a moment because eventually we're going to pair these two up.
Okay.
Talk about your mom, her parents, her family, and things like that.
Well, she's the youngest of seven. There were eight, but seven who lived to be adults. Mm-hmm. And they, like I said, they live down in the Little Hickman area. And she had this, there were two boys and five girls.
Now, and I'm reading here. Dorothy Lee.
She was the one that passed away when she was young.
Okay. Mildred Louise.
Mm-hmm.
And Virginia.
Uh-huh. She married Vernon Montgomery.
Okay.
And she was actually the last one to pass away last year at the age of 95.
Really? Mm-hmm. 95 years old. And then her brothers was Alonzo Green, which anybody in this county would know as A.G.
Right.
Who was married to a Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, in fact, you had, best I can remember, wasn't that a brother-sister thing
yes,
there?
Yes, it was. I was just going to tell you that. Uh-huh.
And then you had, now I didn't know Edmund. No, yes, I did know Edmund. I sure did know him. Very tall.
Uh-huh.
In fact, he and A.G. looked somewhat alike, but one was short and one was tall.
Yes, and he lived in, most of his adult life lived in Fayette County. He was a mailman.
Yeah, so that was the family, and of course they were a farm family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know where she went to school?
I
know,
well,
Little Hickman, I'm sure.
Right. And Home Sweet Home,
okay,
which was another one of the really old ones.
Right.
Your dad did a picture of that school as well. But Home Sweet Home was, I think, her earliest, and then Little Hickman.
And then ended up at Nicholasville
High. And then
the
high school.
And that's, I guess, where her and John.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, came along and met. One of the stories that is written in this article that I don't even know if you know, it's amazing, this program. How many things that I learn about people that I've known all my life. In fact, I did a show on my dad, and I learned stuff that I didn't even know. The time he went according from Cream Ridge. Have you ever heard this story? This is what Alexine wrote. Once as he was headed home from Corton at Cream Ridge, his 49 Ford and Big Earn Miller's mule hit each other.
No, I don't think I heard
that. Leaving a lasting impression of the mule's hind legs on the Ford's front bumper. Now, where this came from, you might ask Alexine.
I'm sure they told Alexine.
But anyway, that supposedly happened on his way home. When did they marry?
They married February the 20th of 1955.
Mm-hmm. And were married, oh my gosh, I mean,
they were married 53 years when she passed away.
I remember the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
53 years.
Uh-huh.
So they get married, and at that point in time, was John farming for a living, or had he gone to
I work? Think he was probably still farming at that point.
Okay.
I'm not sure when he started getting other jobs besides farming. He always farmed somewhat, but he, from the time I remember, had an outside job as well.
Well, at some point in time, and we'll get this done here before we focus more on his life and her life, as far as working and things. They decide to have a family.
Right.
So let's talk about you three girls. Uh-huh. Just go oldest to youngest. Who you married to, what you're doing, that kind of thing.
Okay, well, I'm the oldest, mm-hmm. and which my two younger sisters never fail to tell everyone. But I'm the oldest, and I'm married to Bobby Miller.
Right.
And we have two sons and two granddaughters. And I was a cosmetologist for 21 years mm-hmm. and retired 3 years ago to take care of our youngest granddaughter, who is three now. And the next daughter is June. Uh-huh. And she was born 2 years after me. And she is married to Jerry Ritchie and works as a receptionist for Rector Hayden Real Estate in Lexington. And she has two children, a daughter and a son, and four grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And then my youngest sister is Edith, but we've always called her Edie.
Right.
And she's married to Ken Miller, no relation to my husband mm-hmm. Miller. And they have one daughter. And Edie is a senior accountant for St. Joseph Hospital.
Edith was more my age. Uh-huh. In fact, I think she was 2 years ahead of me.
Well, now she graduated in 78.
Yes, 2 years. But I had a class with her. And I remember Edith was one of those very intelligent
people in class.
Yes. Very personable, uh-huh. very fun to be around. But you knew that Edith knew what was going on, uh-huh. much more than I did, of course. Well, good. So the three girls mm-hmm. and grandkids abundant there.
Well, there are five total grandchildren. And then six total great-grandchildren now.
All right. So they have their kids. And at some point in time, he does work at farming. He does work at R.J. Reynolds. Did your mom ever work outside the home?
She never did. No,
she had the hardest job.
She was always stay-at-home mom. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, at some point, because I know there is a lot of people know this about John and Ruth. At some point in time, how did the sorghum come along?
You know, I'm not really sure. I was trying to think about that before I came here today. He started making it sometime in the late 70s. Uh-huh. I know he was making it when my oldest son was born in 79, so it was before 79. And I don't know if it was, you know, my Uncle A.G. made sorghum, and I don't know if he kind of just got the bug from him, or, you know, I don't really know where it came from.
But is there anybody else in the county that made it or does make it now?
I have no clue. I don't know. Of course, like I said, he and AG, and they would help each other.
Right.
But when Daddy first started making it, he made several boxes. So he made it several weekends. He didn't just make the one box as he did in his later years as he got older, and sold it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I remember when he made it and sold it, yeah.
You know, that's an interesting thing to watch.
Oh, yeah.
The making of sorghum. And mm-hmm. there are people listening here that probably don't even know what sorghum is, let alone how it's made. Every year there is and I don't remember the name of it, but there is a time of year down at Dollywood where they have these crafts.
It's in October. We were just there this past fall.
And several times that we have been, there's been an outfit making it.
Yes.
And really, folks, if you've ever seen that, you're not seeing really the whole operation like your dad and AG did.
Yeah, because it's a full, from beginning to end, it is a full day operation.
And there's a lot of stuff more than just that one horse and that thing in the middle. I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Well, even before you get to that point.
Exactly. Yeah. But it gives you some kind of an idea of how the cane is crushed and this liquid comes out and all that kind of stuff. It's very interesting. My children, of course, have seen that and like, what in the world is that? And sorghum is a taste you either like or you don't. I don't know that I've ever met anybody that's kind of like, hey, it's all right. I mean, you either really like it or you just don't like it.
Right.
It's different. It's not like maple syrup, folks, at all. It's completely different. But I like it. I happen to be one of those people. My wife doesn't care for it, but I do.
Well,
but
and it has a different taste, I think, from the way that the old-fashioned way that Daddy made it with the box and the fire under it, than the way people do mass production, which is a vapor cooking it, mm-hmm. which if you're going to sell it and be a profitable thing,
you
have to do it that way. Otherwise, it's too...
Yeah. Well, that was a big part of his life. A lot of people remember them from the sorghum. His dad, though, and this gets us into his other part of his life. His dad, Reed, was back in, I don't know what year it would have been, but back, I guess, maybe in the 60s or 70s, he was a magistrate on the fiscal court.
In the 60s.
In the 60s, okay. Uh-huh. And to explain to people that may be listening outside of our county, we have, like you would have in a town, you have like the mayor and the city commissioner, the mayor and the council. In your county, in Kentucky, in your county, you have what's called a county judge executive, and you have magistrates, and they run the affairs of the county, much like your city council does in the city. And they, in Jessamine County, and I guess probably every county in our state, and I don't know about other states, but your county is divided up in sections according to population, and each section has a person that they elect to represent them on this fiscal court. So Reed Nickel was a magistrate back in the 60s from down in the 5th District, which is the southeast part of the county, from where they lived and raised. And he was a magistrate. Now, your dad was also a magistrate, but before that, he served in, as a deputy sheriff, I think.
For a short time.
For a short time, yeah.
And
would that have been, to see, that would have been I think in the late 80s, and I think Steve Walker.
It was with Steve Walker.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was before all they had to do all the training and all that they do now. I mean, it was just like, you know.
Want to be a deputy?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And we're not demeaning.
No, absolutely not. That's just the way it was.
Right.
That's just the way it was.
Mm-hmm. So he did that. But then he decided, I guess, at some point, I'm going to run. I'm going to run for magistrate. Mm-hmm. Did he win his first time out? Do you remember? I don't remember.
Yes.
Okay. And he stayed on the court for quite a few
21
years. 21.
It's an odd time because as opposed to 4 years, because
right.
at some point in there, the state did something to get the elections.
All in even years.
Yes.
That's what it was. So they added a year
to their
term. They added a
year. That's why he had the 21 years as opposed to.
That would have actually been, I can tell you when it was. It was the people who took office in 1994, because I took commissioner that year.
Oh, okay.
And instead of 2 years, I got three.
Mm,
it was
okay.
the same time. They added an extra year. So that makes it 21. That's why there's that odd year. So he served five terms as a magistrate of the fiscal court.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, I've known John for a long time, and I especially knew him in that role. I guess the first time that I actually knew him in that role was when I worked for Mildred Williams. She at some point said, well, won't you just clerk the meetings for me? And so that's how I really got to know him. And that would have been with Sherman Dean and him and Jimmy Wells and John Gillespie, maybe. There were several others, Chester Floyd.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That would have been then.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he continued to be magistrate under Neil Cassidy.
Yes.
And I guess
most of his time was with Neil
with Neil Cassidy.
As judge executive. Uh-huh.
Hard job, folks. It's
I don't think people really realize sometimes how much is really involved.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole lot more than going to a couple of meetings a month.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you've got your constituents that are forever calling you with things that they'd like to see you do, or you know, they'd like their snow removed, or they'd like a guardrail put up on this curb, and a lot of different things, you know, blacktop in their area or whatever. They just, you know,
But you know, Donna, the interesting thing about it is, even though these six people on our court, we have six, you are responsible for your constituent, but you are a magistrate for the county.
Yes, you are.
So it wasn't just 5th District people calling him. Mm-hmm. He had people from everywhere. You know, you had things going on in Wilmore and North County that were calling him too.
Right, yeah.
A lot of work.
Mm-hmm. But you know, he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
He loved people. And one of the things he really loved, after he'd been on the fiscal court for a little while, after Neil became county judge executive, Neil needed help. He was having so many people coming to want to get married. And he asked Daddy if he would help him out with that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people, how many couples that he married during the time. He started keeping a log of it at some point into it and wished he had done it from the very beginning. But he married a lot of people.
Well, you know, and when you said the word married, he was not a minister, but under Kentucky law, a county judge, a circuit judge, a district judge, a magistrate are allowed to marry people.
Right.
But I do know along that same lines that he and your mother were very faithful to the church.
Oh, yes. They went to Mount Beulah Church.
For a long time.
Probably most of their, if not all of their married life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in later years, become more involved as we got older and so forth, too. But, yes, they were very active at Mount Beulah Church.
You know, switching gears here for just a moment, John did a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, from being a magistrate to working in a tobacco company, being a farmer, being involved
He was kind of a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy.
Yeah, he kind of. But, you know, behind him, you had a rock back at home, taking care of the homestead and raising three girls, and with, like we said earlier, the hardest job, your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Very supportive.
Right.
When did we lose Ruth?
She passed away in March of 2008.
And your dad died?
In August of 2014.
Yeah, so 6 years there
in between.
He was
mm-hmm.
in between.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell this story on your uncle. A.G.
One of, and
I've,
oh, he
I've
left,
always said this.
He always left to aggravate, and her particularly,
well, you,
I think.
One of the nicest men that has ever walked in this county.
Yeah.
But I tell you, he was about the exact same stature of my grandfather, Roar, Cecil Roar. They were the same height. They pretty much wore their hair the same way. Granddaddy was a brick mason, so he wore a lot of those khaki shirts and pants, which, A.G., I've seen a number of times. And they just, if you look at pictures of them, they look alike. Well, Granddaddy had died. He died in 79. One day, I was in the courthouse when I was working for Mildred, and I turned a corner, and A.G. was standing down the hall, just happened to come out of an office toward me, and he had on that khaki shirt, that khaki pants, the hat that... I thought I'd seen a ghost. I did. I literally shook until I realized it was A.G. Cantor and it wasn't my granddaddy. When he came up to me and I told him what was going on, he got a big kick out of that.
Oh, sure.
That he was. But he was just really good family. I knew him. I knew your uncle, Edmund,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know the others. But, I mean, if that family, if all that family was anything like A.G. and your mom, man, that was a great family to
well,
be
and
around.
And between... All the seven kids, there were 23 first cousins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
just
we're people. A pretty tight bunch.
Yeah, good people. Well, let me ask you this. And I don't know if you've ever heard any of our programs or not, but this is a question that we kind of throw out there. We'll start with your mom. How would you, in a word or two, describe Ruth Nickel? Now, I know this is a hard question.
Yeah, and, you didn't
and
tell me.
I know I didn't, and I don't tell people that because I want you to just see what you come up with off the cuff.
Oh, goodness. Well, she could be funny.
Yeah.
Caring, I guess.
There you go.
Dedicated.
Oh, yeah, she had to be.
Dedicated to us and yeah, to Daddy and, you know, whatever they were doing.
Right. Now, you've got a leg up, and knowing your next question I have is your dad.
Well,
how would you describe, how would you think he would want to be remembered to the people in this community through all that he did? If he could come back today and just say, John, what word do you want us to describe you?
Faithful.
There you go. And he was.
Yeah.
Especially to his county.
Right.
But to his people down there.
To whatever. To yeah, whatever he
yeah.
was doing. And to the Lord. You know, he would want you to know that. Outgoing and friendly. I mean.
Yeah.
He never, ever saw a stranger.
You know, John had a hard time in his last several years.
Oh, yeah.
John suffered through some cancer. We'll say what
it
is.
Well, yeah.
And he had a hard time.
But he fought. But he had lymphoma from, oh, gosh, Doug, like 98 or something like that, which he handled marvelous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
know, just
right.
wonderfully.
Right.
I mean, I had so many people that would say, you know what? Your dad just has such a positive outlook,
sure.
which is another way, you know.
That's the way you do it.
That's the way he was
yeah.
about everything,
right.
with a positive attitude.
Right.
But the later years, results of some of that cancer
yeah.
and the chemo and what caused
finally
other issues.
Caught up with it.
And it caused a lot of other issues for him, yeah.
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 He was tough.
Oh, yeah.
And that's stock. That's, you
yeah.
know, your mom's same way.
Yeah.
The way...
That's the way they were raised.
It's the way they were
you know,
raised.
That's
the
way they were raised. And, you know, farm people were that way.
Yeah, they just,
you know.
They're tough.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
you
resolve is mm-hmm. very strong. And
yeah.
they get through things that a lot of people nowadays, to be quite honest, couldn't get through.
No.
They wouldn't know how to start to get through.
Well, true. Yeah.
But they did. But I tell you, I always appreciated... Especially being around your dad. I was around him more than I was your mom.
Right. Well, he was
because
out
of the courthouse.
With the court
yeah.
and different
but
things.
Very nice
you know.
People, and as you said, dedicated and faithful and well-known and well-liked in this community. Did a lot of good things for our community and should not be forgotten. And that's why we do this show. One other little story that I was reading here that you may or may not remember that I'll bring up. Did you all happen to have... a smoke alarm.
Oh, gosh.
Go off in the house.
Oh, yes. I remember it well. And I was a very young child.
Yeah.
Is that in that
article?
That
is in here. You want to tell
it? Oh, goodness gracious. It was, and we hadn't had these smoke alarms for very long. And they were, of course, probably some of the first ones that ever came out. And I remember the salesperson that came and sold them to us.
Yeah.
And so mom and dad had purchased them. And it was a very, very snowy day, snow on the ground. And we had a coal and wood stove.
Yeah.
And it overheated. And so this alarm went off. Mm-hmm. And the three of us were upstairs playing. And, of course, we came running downstairs. And she got us outside into the car. And she was trying to get the attention of Daddy and his dad, my grandfather, mm-hmm. who was cutting wood up on the hill. We could see them. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they couldn't hear her hollering and yelling at them because they had chainsaws going.
Right.
And she went and got them to, you know, to come because, you know, we thought the house was on fire. And luckily, the stove had just overheated and made that alarm go off.
Well, the detail that Elixing put in this story was that Ruth ran and put the car. The smoke alarm sounded. Ruth put the girls in the car and ran barefoot in her pajamas through the snow.
Well, now, I don't remember the barefoot part, but I wouldn't doubt that, because she was probably doing washing or something before. And she took off, you know, to up that field to try to get their attention to come and help. Yeah.
You know, in our days of, we have now, with all the stress and all that, those kind of memories just kind of
I hadn't thought about that in a very long time, but I remember it well.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate, believe it or not, our time is gone, but I appreciate you coming in and telling us a little bit more about John and Ruth. Mm-hmm. And, like I say, very well known in this community. A lot of people remember them. Heck, a lot of people remember your granddad.
Yes.
And your Uncle Carl and all that bunch. But and all the Canners, too. I mean, very well known people in our community who contributed a lot to this community in a lot of different ways. So thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you, Doug.
Well, I appreciate Donna coming in this morning and sharing about her parents, John and Ruth Canner Nickel. We appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning also. Hope you'll come back again next week when we'll have another program about Jessamine County. Don't forget, I'm on every morning also from 6 until 8 a.m. every weekday morning, that is, right here for you on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.